I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Todd Cantwell set to exit Rangers after asking to leave the club. Paulo Bernardo closes in on his Celtic return, and could he be joined by Hugo Bueno? And it's a huge night for St Mirren and Kilmarnock as they kick off their European adventures. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Jim Duffy.
Yeah, well, the big football news really is European football back for St Mirren and Kilmarnock, which is absolutely fabulous for those clubs and supporters of those clubs. A real level of excitement, which is natural and, you know, it should be there for those clubs. As far as the big guns are concerned, obviously good news from Celtic and the fact that Paulo Bernardo has eventually, you know, been agreed, and that will be done in a 5-year deal, I'm led to believe. And also the Todd Cantwell story. We've always thought, Andrew, there was something not quite right there between him and Philippe Clement. But for him to ask for a transfer, to put in a transfer request, means that he's, you know, laid his cards on the table. And I think that when that happens, fans don't want you there. The manager will certainly know he doesn't want to be part of his future. So the best thing to do is to get this done quickly and get him out of Ibrox and freeze up the funds to bring in someone else.
Is that quite a rare thing to happen? A player going to a manager and requesting to leave? Does it happen more than you think, potentially?
Yeah, but, you know, it does happen. You know, obviously, it used to happen much more with the players going there. But the contractual side now, and agents, and, you know, whether you said, you know, whether there's an interest from other clubs, all those sort of things can accelerate it. But I think there's definitely not you know, been a perfect relationship between Todd Cantwell and Philippe Clement, and I think that either way it's better for both parties. If there's a separation, they move on. And you know, but for Rangers, you know, they are, if Tavernier goes, if Colson goes, all these things, if Cantwell, then they are definitely weaker than last year. They need the new players anyway, and they're going to need even more if those players eventually and probably leave the club.
Well, we want to hear your thoughts. That is a big story. The news last night, Philippe Clement revealing that Todd Cantwell has asked to leave Rangers. He said that after a 2-1 defeat to Birmingham City as well. So Rangers fans, what are your thoughts on Todd Cantwell? Maybe just the transfer window generally. Maybe you had your eyes on that game last night and have some thoughts. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, Paulo Bernardo, we've spoken about him a lot in this summer window so far. Hugo Bueno is a name that's come up again. There was a lot of talk about the Wolves left back, whether he would maybe join in January. Didn't happen, but his name has come up again. So 0141 951 1025 for any thoughts on that. Kilmarnock fans, St Mirren fans, European football kicking off tonight. I'm sure you're excited. Maybe you're a Kilmarnock fan on your way to the game. We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. I'd be surprised if any St Mirren fans on their way to the game would be listening over in Iceland. Maybe. You never know.
Listen, you never know. But the thing, from a Scottish perspective, and our game and the reputation of our game, I think it's important that both clubs do well. You know, we're notoriously poor at these early rounds, and we've had some, you know, let's just say ties we should have won over the years, and we've fallen short. The responsibility now lies with Kilmarnock and St Mirren. Listen, we mentioned it's a fantastic occasion, but let's just not make it an occasion. Let's make sure we're professional, we go out our best, we're prepared, we do the diligent homework that we need to do to make sure that we get both clubs into the next qualifying round. It'll be difficult, we know that, but you know, two experienced managers, two very good managers, two managers that were, you know, really, you know, had fantastic seasons with their clubs. Let's hope they can continue again this season with positive results this evening.
Well, no matter who you support, we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. While you get your calls in, let's go to Rugby Park, shall we? Tom Grant is there to give us a bit of preview ahead of Kilmarnock's game against Cercle Bruges.
Yeah, just 3 years ago, Kilmarnock were preparing for the opening game of the Championship season following their relegation from the Premiership. But tonight, Dennis McInnes' side will kick off this campaign with this captivating Europa League qualification tie against Belgian side Cercle Brugge. And they'll do so in front of a bumper crowd at sold-out Rugby Park. Killy's first jaunt into Europe in 5 years is thanks to their impressive fourth place finish last term, and they face a Cercle side playing in Europe for the first time since 2010 after they finished fourth in the Belgian Pro League. McInnes will be looking to continue his team's good fortunes at home, winning six and drawing two of their 10 games played at Rugby Park in 2024, and make sure they are still in the tie come next week's return leg in Belgium. Cercle's manager Miron Milsik has had a little pop at the Rugby Park playing surface, saying it is an old artificial pitch that is in a very bad condition. So perhaps a bit of space between the dugouts, but it all adds to the ingredients needed for a special night in East Ayrshire.
I think what makes it extra special as well, Tom mentioned there, it's been 5 years since Kilmarnock were in a European tie. Everyone remembers that Connors Key Nomads fixture. Yeah. I think 2001 was the last time they played a European game on foreign soil, which they'll do next week for St Mirren. 37 years it's been since they played a European fixture. It's quite incredible.
Yeah, I mean, again, it just shows you how difficult it is for clubs to qualify. You know, clubs like Kilmarnock, I mean, you have that kind of up and down scenario, you know, where the consistency levels have been difficult to get themselves in good positions. But the last couple of years, as I mentioned, under both managers, both Stevie Robinson and Derek McInnes, have had fantastic periods at these clubs, and they've taken them to this European competition. But you know, the fact that Tom was saying the Cercle Brugge manager is not happy with the pitch, listen, there's a lot of people have comments on the Kilmarnock pitch, but I think that's good, because hopefully he's kind of putting negative thoughts into his players' heads, and if he's doing that, that will give Kilmarnock an advantage. As we mentioned, we know that Scottish football is not at the top echelons of European football, but I still think if those two clubs get everything right on the night, then there can be really positive results.
Looking forward to those two games. We'll give you the team news in a bit as well. And as I say, if you're maybe heading to the game or just watching at home, either of them, 0141 951 1025. Let's take a look at one of the big stories of the day, though. It came after Philip Clement's post-match press conference. An interesting one as well after the Birmingham game, because he did his post-match press conference, he got up, he left, and then decided to come back in of his own volition and decided that he wanted to break this news to the media that were in the room. He confirmed last night that Todd Cantwell has asked to leave the club. He'll now train with the B team as Clement focuses on the players that he says want to remain at Rangers.
I want to speak about Todd Cantwell, who came in my office a while ago, and we have a really good relationship, so we talked long about that. But he came a while ago to say that he feels ready for another adventure, that he wants another challenge. I spoke along with him because I think Rangers is a really good club for him. And I wanted to give him time also. So that's why the last couple of weeks I didn't speak about it. But he came back with the same request. So I'm going to be focused the next couple of weeks in that way on the guys who are with their heads with Rangers for the next month to come.
I've covered a lot of press conferences in my time. I don't think I've ever been in one where the manager has left and then decided to come back in to drop a bombshell like that.
Yeah, maybe he's had, you know, a discussion with, you know, the director of football, or, you know, and just thinking that, OK, we're going to announce this now, it's time. Maybe there was a suggestion the news would get out anyway, you know, through various sources, so it's better for the manager to go and do that. So we're not quite sure, Andrew, why the reason that Philip Clement will go back in, but he's been honest with the supporters, and I think the supporters deserve that. You know, there's no point in, you know, either leaving them out of the squad or trying to keep everything under wraps when you know that player is unhappy and you believe he's not going to be you know, part of your plans going forward. Then you're going to get asked questions if he's not involved in the squad. Is he injured? You know, has he been dropped? All these sort of things. So the best thing to do, as I said, put your cards on the table, let the fans know. And, you know, Todd Cantwell, yeah, I mean, I know he's maybe been diplomatic, saying he's looking for a new adventure. I think he used that term. If he can get a bigger club than Rangers, I would be amazed. Amazed. He's not exactly set the head on fire at Rangers. He's been okay in patches. He's a little in games here and there. But over the course, you'd have to say he's a wee bit underwhelmed. And I like him. I think he's got talent. I'm not quite sure where to fit him in terms of structures and all these sort of things. For me, he's all over the place at times, and you know, he's not a player you can bank on. So I don't think it's a big loss for Rangers, I really don't. But they have to strengthen, there's no doubt they are getting weaker, and they will have to strengthen significantly in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
01419511025 to get your thoughts in. Colin is a Rangers fan up first in Motherwell. Colin, what did you make of that news when it was breaking last night?
Well, to be perfectly honest, Cantwell can go. He's up and down like a heartbeat, as Jim Duffy says. We've never seen the best of Cantwell. We've never had a run of maybe 6-7 games. And the same like with Goldson, Tavernier. These guys won a league 3 years ago. They're dead wood. I would get rid. It's just time to move them on, because you'll never challenge Celtic with the players that you've got, because Celtic could go out and buy and sell us, literally, with what they've got in the bank. I say the only saving grace is we hope they get a dud keeper right enough, but I can't see that happening. What we've got is mediocre, literally mediocre players. But I would bring in a few youngsters, maybe the young boy Lowry, give him a chance. If he's still at Rangers, give him a chance to actually play, and a few other youngsters.
Is that going to help Rangers mind. Compete with Celtic, though, Colin? You say guys that have been there, have lots of experience, aren't able to compete with Celtic. Are Rangers going to be able to win a league title if it is players like Alex Lowry who are playing more regularly?
I would give them a chance, because they probably get fighting spirit. The rest, these players like Tavernier, I really did enjoy Tavernier when he first came, but they're just no fighting for the club now.
If these players are to go, Jim, it looks as if Conor Goldson is on his way out. Todd Cantwell certainly looks as if he's on his way out, still to learn about James Tavernier. You mentioned it earlier on. Philip Clawant, he'll need to bring players in, won't he? And how tough a job is that going to be, replacing players like Tavernier, like Goldson, who do play week in, week out?
It's extremely difficult. And also, you know, your squad strength is getting weaker. And Rangers already needed, you know, even if they had the full complement of players and none of the players were leaving this season, they probably still needed 4 or 5 better quality players to have any chance of challenging Celtic for the title next season. And that looks like they don't have the finance for that. So they're looking at, you know, we use this term projects. You're looking at younger players that they can bring in, they can develop, they can perhaps sell on for a substantial profit further down the line. But while you're doing that, Rangers fans still expect to be winning. You know, you've still got to be winning games, is winning certainly the vast majority of games, competing with Celtic for every trophy domestically, and hopefully having a decent run in Europe. Maybe qualify for the if they manage to qualify for the knockout stages of the Champions League, that would be a huge financial boost for them, and that would help them enormously, although it's going to be very difficult with the draw. But regardless of the financial aspect, and Colin saying about developing young players and bringing in young players, I think there are possibilities that one or two younger players can get the opportunity, because those players that he mentioned have been there a good number of years, have had that one title. But they maybe haven't, been as successful with all that experience. So why not use some younger players? You know, in some aspects, you might find a diamond. Someone might just come out there. You're not going to throw them in every game. You're not going to throw them in en masse. It's like 5 or 6. But you might have 1, possibly 2 younger players that you can manage to feed into the team alongside some of the other players. But Rangers do need knowledge. There's absolutely no doubt about it. They need knowledge. They need stature on the team. They need players with a strong mentality and belief. And younger players are finding that. That's hard for them. They've got to learn that part. So in my opinion, they need a couple of guys, 30, 31, 32, who for the next 2 seasons can, the utilise to help those younger players, those project players. They can't have all young, naive players. They need a strong, basically strong mentality, because it's been shown in the big games, particularly against Celtic, that Rangers have been weak in that department, and that's cost them, or partly the reason why it's cost them the chance to challenge for titles.
Colin, do you expect to see that experience come in as well over the next month and a bit?
It's hard to say, but it's like you said, he's got to sell to get players in. So he's got to get rid of them first. And if the club's coming in and literally, what have they got left in their contract? Goldson, a year. Tavernier, a year. Take what you can get and just see what he can bring in, because he's probably got his eyes on some players maybe that are in that age bracket, as Jim's roughly about 30, 31, 32, that he could maybe use and help the youngsters on. That's the only way that Rangers have managed to maybe do some.
Colin's saying take what you can get for James Tavernier and Connor Goldson. Yeah. Is it as easy as that? Or if Rangers are having to sell before they can buy, as Philip Clement says, they need to raise funds, do they need to go out and try and get the best value for money possible for these players? And then you need to balance up the contribution that these players can make. James Tavernier, you know, yes, takes penalties, but still scored 24 goals last season. I think got about 12 assists.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, I'm amazed. I've said this on this programme many, many times. I'm amazed that no one down south has taken a punt on James Tavernier in modern day football, and how good he is going forward, and you say assists and goals and set plays and all these sort of things. I'm amazed that no one's done that. But if the current value is a couple of million pounds, and that's what you get, even if you want to think he's worth more than that, that's fine. And Connor Goldson, they're talking about £1 million, maybe £1 million plus. So if you're bringing in, you know, that's the rate the best you can get, then you've got to do that. You've got to then say, fine, go and sell them. But they've also lost John Lundstrom, they've lost Ryan Jack. It looks like Scott Wright's going to go. You know, there's a lot of players that have left, obviously Borna Barisic. You know, so there's players that you know, if you look at that with these current players, with another three players we're talking about there, you know, that is a lot of players who were nearly all involved in first team football. Maybe Ryan Jack didn't know so much last year, but over the last few years, these are players who have been part of that first team squad. So you're losing them out of that area. You're not just losing them out of the squad generally. These have been influential, important players and strong characters, and you know, so you need to try and fill that on the pitch and off the pitch in the dressing room. I look at Rangers' dressing room just now, and I don't see any leaders. I don't see any characters. I don't see someone that can, you know, a Barry Ferguson is going to get in there and grab somebody with scruffy neck and say, this is Rangers. We need to have standards here. We need to, you know, show what it means to play for it. I just don't see any players like that. I may be wrong. Maybe there's someone in there that I'm not aware of. But from the outside looking in, Andrew, I don't see someone like that. And I think that's badly needed at Rangers at this moment in time.
Well, thank you to Colin. Next up is Nadim, who's a Rangers fan in Livingston. What do you make of it all, Nadim?
Hi, Andrew, Jim. Hope you're well. It's just similar to what Jim's saying there, I suppose, Andrew, that when I spoke to the producer earlier on, I was just saying I'm quite an optimistic Rangers fan and I'm quite positive most of the time. However, I'm getting a bit anxious now, you know, just in terms of the amount of players, as Jim was saying there, that have left the club and probably going to leave the club. You know, you're talking 5, 6, probably more than that, 7 kind of regular first-team players that over the last couple of years have been in and around the first-team squad. And we've got maybe 2 or 3 players who have come in. And as Jim said, they seem to be more kind of future prospects than actual first-team players. So there's now, 5 weeks left till the end of the transfer window, 5 or 6 weeks or whatever it is, to end the transfer window. Transfers, Jim will know better than anybody else, transfers take time, you know, especially if you're wanting to get good quality players in. And I don't know if we're just leaving it too late. You know, we finished last season not great. We're a team with decent players. Some of those players now have moved on. We can't start the season, you know, already behind Celtic, you know, in terms of not having the players in. And I know Jim's saying about leaders in the dressing room. I agree with that. But I think you do have leaders in the coaching staff. You know, you've got Rangers players in there, like Alex Ray, you know, who have been there and been through Rangers. So I hopefully that's enough to get us through. But we need signings in it. As a Rangers fan, as a lifelong Rangers fan who goes to the games, I just want to get excited about prospects coming in. I'm just not feeling that just now.
Nadim mentioned that, you know, it's something like 5 weeks until the end of the transfer window, but in Scotland the season starts so early that Rangers are away to Hearts at Tynecastle, which is not going to be an easy game.
Long in just over a week's time.
European qualifiers in there at the end of the month before the transfer window shuts. Rangers have to go to Celtic Park as well. So yes, Rangers need to get their business done before that date, but Philip Clement will be hoping to have bodies in before yeah. the following weekend when Rangers need to go and play Hearts.
Yeah, and I think there's a wee bit of concern. I mean, in the one or two interviews I've heard, Philip Clement just in the summer, he's not got that natural enthusiasm in his voice that we've heard when he first went into Rangers, and even when they did that little sticky patch at Rangers, you know, he was so buoyant and bullish and, you know, determined. It just seems a wee bit deflated at this moment in time, and I think he knows himself that, you know, he's got a challenge in his hands to improve, because ultimately they weren't good enough to win the league this year. They had to improve because Celtic will improve. So Rangers have to improve, you know, a significant level, and he knows that's going to be difficult. But that's the job he's got, the responsibility he's got. Nadeem is saying, you know, a wee bit underwhelmed. Yeah, it could take right to the last minute, but I look at the kind of signings that have been made. I look at the players that have left, and the current ones are there. Even the likes of last year, like Raskin, you know, was three quarters of the season, maybe more than that. He struggled, and he came in a little bit towards the end of the season. You know, Kieran Dills never really took part. Tom Lawrence was in and out. So there's still a lot of decisions to be made, even with the ones that are still there. Are those the type of guys that would get you over the line to win a title? I don't think so. In terms of, I'm not saying they can't be a part of your squad, but they're not bankers. You can't bank on them. So they need absolutely identified, nailed on guys who can go and compete for a title, because that is the challenge for Rangers. They can't just say, oh, listen, you know, over the next couple of years we're going to develop these players. Rangers fans won't accept that. That's just an unacceptable part of being a manager of one of the two big clubs in Glasgow.
Well, thank you to Nadeem. Maybe you've got some more thoughts on that. Maybe you're a Celtic fan that's interested in the news that it looks as if Celtic are back in for left-back Hugo Bueno, and of course St Mirren and Kilmarnock fans. Two huge games tonight. We want to hear from you as well. We'll get plenty more build-up and the team news to those games. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheese steaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, building up to two huge European games. Kilmarnock against Cercle Bruges in the Europa League qualifiers. They're at Rugby Park, a sold-out Rugby Park. It's going to be tonight. The atmosphere should be good there. St Mirren. Easy for me to say. St Mirren over in Iceland to take on Valur, which will be another good game. That's in the Conference League. So building up to those, we'll get the team news. I think that will be coming in shortly. We were just talking during the break there about, we saw some lengthy VAR stoppages in Scottish football last season. It was quite a gripe with a few people. Imagine this had happened in Scottish football at the Olympics last night, Argentina against Morocco. It was injury time, 2-1 to Morocco at that point, deep into injury time as well, wasn't it? Argentina score. There's then chaos ensues. Yeah. The Moroccans aren't happy about it. I think some stuff had been thrown onto the pitch. The game was then not quite abandoned, but essentially the players were brought down the tunnel for the game to be paused for a while. The fans were then all told to go home. Almost 2 hours later, the players were brought back out, and the first thing the referee did was disallow the goal for offside. It's like a two-hour VAR stoppage, essentially.
Two-hour VAR, and also it was 115 minutes when Argentina thought they'd scored the equaliser. 115, it was 16 minutes injury time. But for me, I watched a fair bit of it, and I cringe. There's so much diving, so much cheating. It's just killing the game, and UEFA really have to do something about it. I know this is an Olympic event, I understand that, but in general, it's so bad. People think it's an age thing, you know, this sort of stuff, oh, you're a dinosaur, and it's not in the 90s. I'm not asking people to smash into people. I'm just talking about someone, not even in the area, listen, not even within touch, like the distance between me and your way, and someone just falling over and holding their head. And almost every time a ball comes into the box, if they're trying to waste time, the ball is clear of the box, you see someone decking it. And to me, it's ridiculous. And it's also dangerous because there are times, and we've seen this sadly with the Christian Eriksen thing a while ago, someone could be genuinely, injured or you know, have a serious medical condition, and players are just feigning injury all the time now. So yeah, that's me. That's me getting my pre-season gripe out the way, because it was just ridiculous. It just annoyed me to the point where I couldn't watch it anymore.
I was just thinking, we've just had like about a 5-week holiday from VAR chat as well. It's been dominating things since it came into Scottish football. Yeah. We've had a nice break, but I'm sure we'll get back to it. Will I
improve that in Scottish football next year? There'll never be a 2-hour time delay, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely not get any phone calls about VAR or Willie Collum in the next few months. Definitely not. Right, give us a call, 01419511025. Paul is a Rangers fan in Crookston. Up next, Paul, what are you thinking tonight?
Oh, hi there. Nice, thanks for being on your show tonight. I know, I was just listening in. I picked up on what Jim was saying about Tavernier. I was amazed that no English clubs come in for him. But, you know, not to be cheeky, Jim, but I, my opinion, for you were saying there, he gives about 24 goals or 24 assists. But he also gives away 24 goals to the opposition teams, because he's defending is absolutely shambolic. I watched the Birmingham City game last night, and again there was acres of space down the right hand side, again left by Tavernier. I'm not taking away from what the guy's done for us as a servant. I argue with Rangers fans all the time about it. I go to every home game, and it's a bit divided between the fans, if I'm being honest with you. There's fans, and 50% of fans are split, basically keeping Tav, and 50% saying go. And it's not just Tavernier. I think I back Clement 100% here. And the guy's going through a tough gig now. He's basically doing the job with two hands tied behind his back. The board have had chaos all summer with the Ibrox Stadium shambolics between the transfer system. I know I'm not an expert on it. Jim, you'll know, being managing and everything else, there must be a lot of things going in the background. I get that, but we seem to be moving people on. I think the previous regimes that have been in place made a big mistake, giving Michael Beale basically full reign and transfer kitty, and that's had an impact on Clement this year. But what worries me watching that game last night was there's no identity at all. I know we talk about formations, but listen, I was listening to some of the podcasts, and you might have been on them actually, Jim. It's a programme on another channel. I listened to it, and there's a guy on talking about Brian Clough and everything else like that, and the player that played under him said Brian Clough's philosophy was, if you're a right back, you stop the ball going into the box. If you're a goalkeeper, you stop the ball going over the line. And I just think modern day football, that Euro 2024, I know I feel I'm scattergun here, right, but Euro 2024 I thought was dreadful. I thought the footballing was really poor. And I think this whole modern day football is, I think we should go back to the old way. A proper 4-4-2, having wingers that can actually...
Well, there are plenty of teams that do find success, Paul, playing different, more modern systems.
Do you guys think the Euro 2024... I'm only here to be a moaner, right? It sounds like that, but I thought that was poor. And I don't know if you've listened to Bielsa, the guy that managed Leeds, if you listened to his podcast, because he talks about modern-day football and says it's poor. It's not good.
Yeah, but I think, Paul, as I said, you know, there are, everyone's got their opinions on whether, you know, football's better now or worse. But I'm a wee bit like yourself. I was disappointed in the excitement, the drama. There were some games, but there was a lot of games that were tepid, to say the least, and too many back passes, square passes, too much based on possession rather than creativity and risk, you know, less risk. The team that took more risks won it, and deservedly so, because they were the most entertaining team, which was Spain. But I think in terms of, you're on there about, you know, there's always been a division about James Tavernier. But modern day fullbacks, very, very few. There's maybe only Kyle Walker, and there's one or two others that can defend. Very, very few are good defenders. They're all much better going forward. That's where the width comes from. That's where they're being creative. Trent Alexander's got the same tag. But it's about finding the balance. If you look at whether Spain or Man City play, let's take the two top teams, international and domestic, they have Rodri. And when the fullbacks go forward, Rodri's job is to cover those spaces that you see keep getting left. So that's whatever manager's in charge of Rangers at this time, whether it's Philip Clement or pre that Michael Beale or whoever, is to find the balance right and making sure that you get the players who are good in key areas in those areas, and the weaknesses don't get exploited so much and don't get exposed. And I think, unfortunately for James Tavernier, that hasn't happened. When there has been spaces, teams have exposed them. And he then get the blame for them. I don't think it's all to do with him. It's to do with the systems and maybe having players who can see that danger or sense that danger. So, yeah, I agree with you. Two different subjects in terms of the standard of football and the quality of football. But that is the way it is now. Goalkeepers and Brian Clough and all these kind of things. It's a different generation. Managers now will look at a goalkeeper and say, right, what likes he like with his feet rather than how many saves is he making and how many crosses does he come for? Does he command his penalty box? It's like, can he play out from the back? Similar with defenders. Can defenders, you know, build up the play and can play through the lines and all these sort of things rather than can he defend? We see it all the time. It's set plays, how many players that cannot defend are grabbing people. They've got their arms round people. They're hauling people. They're trying everything rather than actually get their body position right. But that is just the way it is. It's not going to go back, Paul. It's not going to go back 10 or 20 years or even further to the Brian Clough days. It's the way the game is, and therefore, rather than, you know, hanker back to the days, we just have to improve what the quality that we have at the disposal. And Philip Clement has a massive job in his hands to improve the quality at Rangers with the budget that he has.
Well, thank you to Paul. Frankie's a Celtic fan up next in Lanark. Frankie, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi there, guys. Just before I make my point, I would just like to say hello to Duff. You'll not remember me, obviously, but I remember him. I offered to buy him a drink in the Crystal Palace in Glasgow watching a Scotland game one day.
Right, OK.
He's Cromwell on. I was going to see if he'd a pair of docks on, but he informed me that he didn't drink at that point. Mm. Or still didn't drink, obviously. So
nope.
That was a learning curve for me.
Well, thanks, Frankie, for the offer. That was decent of you.
Well,
you just asked for six lemonades instead.
A lot of my pals will say that. Is it the only offer I've ever put in? Anyway, my point is, as I said, I was on the show a few months ago when Gordon and Matt were on, and it was about the Paolo Bernardo. And my thought process at the time was it was a no-brainer because, obviously, there is a complete danger to Matt O'Reilly going if somebody meets the price. And he's very similar in technically. He plays better with Celtic, play better, I'll have to say that. But his goal, you can see his goal, there's a lot there, and I think obviously Brendan can see the potential to work along. You know, he knows how he can make that boy better. And the point was there with Mark Wilson was obviously he was saying about the price tag, 6 million. I'll be honest, to me it doesn't really matter to me. You know, Celtic's goal money and it's 6 million, 6 million. But they are very clever what they do, and obviously they've managed to get the 3-3 down. But probably using Jota as an example. Jota was 6 million and played every week.
Yeah.
If he wasn't injured, obviously. Whereas Bernardo played in and out. So that would be Celtic's strength point there. And maybe having to say, OK, we'll give him a bigger sell-on clause, maybe.
Do you think he can be a replacement for Matt O'Reilly if Matt O'Reilly is to leave this summer, Frankie?
In a forward area, I'm not 100% sure on a defensive side. But I think Matt's done that more with, you know, he you will find him in Matt O'Reilly. I mean, I just think he's a fuck. Everything about Matt O'Reilly is just superb, I think. I'd love to see him stay for another year, and I think that's the best we could get. We wouldn't be able to keep him for another year after that. I'd love to see him stay for a year, and Celtic don't get the money. You know, we're in a great position to say, well, we don't need to sell him. And I think the boy himself, you know, would probably say, you know, it's not the right club for him. I mean, he likes Southampton. You're talking about potential relegation there. I know Liverpool have could be because the new manager's come in there, and he'll remember him for Feyenoord. So you know that might come at some point. But they've got a lot of good young players down there as well. But you know, I don't think Matt will be too quick to jump if it's not right for him.
Some news today. Sorry, Frankie. I was just going to say some news today as well that it looks as if Celtic are back in for Hugo Bueno, the Wolves left back who they tried to get on loan in January. Didn't quite work. Looking for a loan deal. Is that an area you feel Celtic need to strengthen in this window?
As funny enough, I was saying to your producer, I think it's the producer, before. Actually, I read the paper yesterday. I don't do social media just so that I don't keep up with all that stuff. I'm roughly, I'm a wee bit younger and stuff, but not much. And I think I was a wee bit disturbed when I seen Greg Taylor's contract is stalled, because I think the East Hill has done great for Celtic. Obviously he can get, you know, because he's height, he has been under pressure at times. Teams will play on, especially good teams, But I think he's been a great wee football player. But we definitely need a strong left back and want to push him, or you know, vice versa. You know, give him the challenge, and if he can rise to it, because I don't think he's a bad defender. I think he's a good player. He chips in with goals, assists, and he plays the style, and I still love the inverted. I think Brendan's sort of let him do the inverted fullback, you know, Duff will tell you better from time to time. Whereas, you know, obviously under Ange, it was all the time. Mm-hmm. And not so much on the right-hand side. Johnson seems to be where you had to back me as a defender. But we Taylor still goes into that position.
I mean, I think that from Greg Taylor's point of view, listen, only a year in his contract, and you want to try and get that resolved if you believe that he's, you know, can still contribute, which I think the majority of people would think yes. I mean, there's a couple of things there. One, I'm not really 100% with Frankie in terms of the back post stuff, in terms of defending with height. I think if you looked over over a couple hundred games that Greg Taylor's played, there's probably only once or twice teams don't throw balls into the back post. It's just not a normal part of the game now. It's very, very few. You maybe get the odd one, but it's not something new that somebody gets it wide, sticks it into the back post, and you've got a towering centre forward coming in. It's just not a regular part of football these days. So overall, I think his consistency has been very good. But Celtic need two players in every position. We know that at that level, you want to make sure that if he's not available, or if you want to change it, that you're not weakening it, you know, and you've got an equivalent, if not better, alternative available to you. And that's the reason why, like Bernardo as well, I think it's a terrific signing. Even at 4 or 5 million, not that whether you think he's worth it or not, the one thing Frankie says, that's immaterial these days. You know, sometimes you've got to pee over the odds a little bit. But the only thing is, when you do that, people label you with that price. It's not the player's fault. But if he doesn't play well, people say, it's cost 6 million, it cost this much. But 3.5 million sounds a great piece of business. He's been at Celtic. He knows what the club's about. He knows what it is to win a title. He knows the manager. He knows the rest of the players, the expectations of the fans, the style of football, all these things. He's aware of all the Scottish grounds now. And, you know, so there's no surprises to him. So he will be a better player next year for Celtic. I think last year was a bit of a learning curve for him in a lot of things, picking up language, the style, as I say, the culture, everything about it. So I think that is a terrific signing for Celtic, Paolo Bernardo. I think he will be a really good signing, a really good option in terms of whether Mattarelli stays or doesn't stay. I think it's great business from Celtic's perspective.
Well, thank you to Frankie. We will get the team news, the all-important team news from Kilmarnock and St Mirren after the break. Let me tell you about this first. Well, if you get the call that can change it all tomorrow on the cash register, you need to remember that the prize is £250,000. That's how much could be in your bank account by the time you go to bed tomorrow night if you win. So get in the draw now and don't forget the amount. It's £250,000. Text YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website as well. Online entries are £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this rail network competition are on our website. When the entry line shut tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Gemma Atkinson could be calling you. Answer within five rings and tell us this week's cash register amount when we ask it, and you could win £250,000 paid into your bank account within the hour. For your chance to win, text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Jim Duffy in the studio with me, Andrew McLean. Two huge European games. Kilmarnock in Europa League qualifying action tonight. St Mirren in Conference League action tonight as well. The team news is out. Let's go to Rugby Park. Tom Grant has the Kilmarnock team.
Derek McInnes is rewarding the players who got him that elusive fourth place last season, as no less than 10 players who were here last term start tonight's Europa League qualifier. The exception, goalkeeper Robbie McGrory. Signed from Rangers this summer, he makes his competitive debut for Kilmarnock. Other new signing, Bruce Anderson, starts on the bench. So Kilmarnock from the back are McGrory, Wright, Mayo, Finlay, Dees, Armstrong, Watson, Donnelly, Lyons, Kennedy and Captain Bissell. The subs are O'Hara, McKenzie, Murray, Mackay, Stephen, Cameron, Anderson, Wales, Brannan, Leslie, Glavin, Polworth and Traynor. Rugby Park is filling up nicely as kickoff approaches.
Yeah, that will be a good game at Rugby Park. Looking forward to that one as well. We do have the team news from Iceland for St Mirren. It's going to be Ellery Balcom in goal. It's going to be Elvis Bomono as the right wing back, Jaden Brown as the left wing back, the three central defenders, Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor, the three central midfielders, Mark O'Hara, Kaelin Boyd-Munce and Oisin Smith, and then up top, Toyosi Olasanya and Mikael Mandron. Just two huge games. We mentioned it earlier, two teams that aren't in European football all that much. We mentioned how big it is to the supporters, but to these players as well, because there will be some players in both teams that probably thought that they'd never play European football. A lot of players have maybe banded about in the lower leagues of England, not had that opportunity, and all of a sudden, you know, they're travelling to Iceland if they're part of the St Mirren team. Yeah. They're playing in a packed out Rugby Park against a Belgian top flight side if they're a Kilmarnock player.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned earlier on, I think you said it was 37 years or something, yeah, like, you know, since St Mirren. So that just shows you how rare it is. You know, these players that play for these type of clubs, it's not an opportunity that comes along every season. So you've really got to embrace it. And for the fans, that's part of the reason why you've got a full house at Rugby Park tonight. I mean, if it happens all the time, sometimes you can get blasé about the early rounds. But these are really important, also very difficult. It's the first games, you know, of the season. They haven't been involved in, you know, the League Cup competition. So, you know, this is their first competitive game. So it is difficult. There's no doubt about that. But it's the same, you know, for Cercle Bruges tonight. I'm sure it's Valour that they in their league normally.
Yeah, they're in the middle of their season at the moment.
So they've maybe got a bit more of an advantage as Mirren. But certainly it's a phenomenal occasion for the supporters of St Mirren and Kilmarnock. I think particularly at Kilmarnock tonight, that atmosphere will be vital for them to try and drive their team forward. We know the plastic pitch, we know it gets a bit of criticism, but if Kilmarnock can take all the advantages they can possibly get to give themselves a fantastic opportunity when they go to Belgium next week. And as far as St Mirren concerned, they're a strong, organised team. Steve Robinson knows that. Three at the back, he's got his wing backs, he's got two big strikers up front. He's going there to try and be as positive as he can be. So, yeah, fingers crossed that both teams can do us proud.
Did make me laugh yesterday. Derek McInnes was saying that he's done all sorts of pre-seasons as a player. He's done the ones where you're essentially run into the ground. Mm-hmm. He's done others where it's more about building up and working with the ball. And he says no matter what one, the first competitive game of the season, he's always absolutely knackered.
Yes.
But he'll be hoping that the adrenaline of tonight can pull through his Kilmarnock players against what is an opposition that, you know, our favourites. Kilmarnock are the underdogs going into this because Cercle Bruges just spend on a level that Kilmarnock don't.
Yeah. I mean, I think both teams are probably the underdogs, really, you know, because of we're record in Europe at this level. But sometimes that's when Scottish teams are at their best, being underdogs, you know, trying to prove a point, trying to show, put criticism and down the throats of the opposition, and whether it's the managers or the coaches or the media or whatever it happens to be. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity. Just try and grasp it with both hands and just give it everything. But you're right, Andrew. I've been there myself, obviously, many, many years ago. But, you know, when you, that first game, you are, you know, breathing twice as hard as you would normally do, even two or three games into the season. You just need to get that second win. But if you can get a positive start, it can just give you that confidence and, you know, allows you just to calm things down. The breathing slows down and everything becomes a little bit calmer.
There's always a lot of talk about, you know, whether you're at home first or away first, but is it quite a similar task for the two teams just to make sure they are still in the tie going into the second leg?
Yeah,
essentially,
listen, it can depend on results, can't it, if you're away from home, because if you don't do well, if you had a really heavy defeat, you come back home, it's there's a flat atmosphere straight away. I think Kilmarnock tonight would have been quite happy getting the first game at home, because obviously there's no score line to defend or anything like that. So I think that's great. If St Mirren go there tonight and have any kind of positive result, it means when they come back to Paisley, that will really crank up the noise. The St Mirren fans will be right behind them, and that will create a fantastic atmosphere, at St Mirren.
we maybe are due a Scottish team, giving us a bit of joy in Europe after the summer we've had as well.
Yeah, well, the Euros was a bit underwhelming, I have to say that. So, yeah, hopefully both domestic teams can do that. And just before we finish, I just want to say a wee shout-out to Kevin. I met him the other day. He's a big Celtic fan. He's hoping that there was plenty of signings coming along. He's got one today in Paulo Bernardo and maybe another couple on the horizon.
Yeah, not quite confirmed the Paulo Bernardo one, but I'm sure it will be in the next couple of days. It's a 7:30 kick-off for Kilmarnock against Cercle Bruges. It's a 7:45 kick-off for Valour against St Mirren. Looking forward to those games tonight. Of course, we will bring you all the reaction tomorrow night. We are back from 6 o'clock, and of course, more of the stories: Rangers, Todd Cantwell, the future of some other players as well. Will there be more signings? Will Celtic have confirmed Paulo Bernardo by that point tomorrow night? Will there be more progress on Hugo Bueno as well? Join me and Hugh Keevans from 6 o'clock here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And stick around, because it's Callum Gallagher that's up next.
Scoreboard.